You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Hardworking Hunter Podcast. Here I plan to bring you the good, the bad, and the ugly of some amazing adventure stories, as well as share some lessons learned over years of hunting experience. You can find out more about Hardworking Hunter, including films and other articles, at hardworkinghunter.com. Welcome back, guys, to the Hardworking Hunter Podcast. This episode's going to be a fun one. I got my buddy Jeff Roberts on with me tonight, and really appreciate Jeff coming on. Well, I'll just let him tell you about himself. How's it going, Jeff?
Not too bad, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So tell the listeners a little bit about you, introduce yourself, and what you guys got going on. You know, who you are, where you from?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Jeff Roberts. I'm from Washington State, born and raised up in the Pacific Northwest. Avid hunter for the last couple of years now. We started a group up here called Pacific North Wild, a buddy Zach Ellis and myself, and we have another member now, Bobby Petit. We are currently in the midst of a archery elk hunting series that we are dropping on YouTube every Thursday. So if you guys haven't checked it out already, give it a view and we'd appreciate it. And we've got some cool stuff coming out in the future. We have a very active Instagram page as well as Facebook, and our YouTube is growing pretty rapidly with the Hushin guys and the Born and Raised guys kind of leading the way. We're just feeding off of it, which is awesome to see in the hunting community. We have some cool plans for 2018. We have some cool movie or film projects in the near future. In the next couple months, we're going to be dropping content weekly. So it's pretty exciting. It's been a pretty exciting 2018 so far with some projects behind us and in front of us.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it's been fun to see you guys grow. You know, you're content quality has definitely upped its game this year, and I know it's going to be, you know, even better next year.
Yeah,
you know, just need to get you to get that dang camera on like a monopod at the least, you know. But
oh, for sure, we definitely had some problem with some shaky footage, and yeah. And that's, you know, to be expected with some beginner guys. And,
yeah.
I think gimbals are kind of out of the question with us backcountry folks. You know, we don't really have the luxury of carrying around, you know, 50-pound gimbals, but we are working on glide cams and stuff nowadays, and that's going to be better for us. Like you said, a solid monopod or something like that would be really handy as well, but for sure camera equipment is in the future.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I definitely got to give you props on your photography, though, man. I mean, your Instagram page is awesome.
And Thank you very much. Being a
photo junkie myself, it's, you know, it's definitely fun to watch. So,
yeah, absolutely, man.
So let's take a step back and jump into that elk hunt you said you guys got going on. Tell me about it. What's its story?
So Zach Ellis and I, we got together last year right before draw results came out, and we were kind of, you know, we met up on a local forum called the Hunt Washington Forum here, and we both realized that we applied for the same unit and for the same season, and we both had kind of the same points. And we said, you know, hey, if you draw, I'd like to help you and, you know, maybe learn a little bit more about the unit, stuff like that. And so I ended up drawing and he didn't. And we both went in with 14 points. And so he's like, hey, man, I'd like to come with you and scout and hang cameras or whatever you'd like to do. And this was all over internet. You know, we never met or anything. And then I accepted, and we met at a Safeway one June afternoon. And he just jumped in the truck and we took off, and we had about a 4-hour ride to, you know, the trailhead. And we kind of just talked hunting the whole time. And it was like we've been friends our whole lives. It was super, super strange. And it was, you know, I'm glad we did it because now we're, you know, business partners, I guess you could say, and we're solid friends, and I'm glad to have met him. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I kind of feel the same, you know, between us. It's like I feel like we haven't known each other for very long, but it feels like we could just jump in the truck and go tomorrow and it'd be all,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
It's just, it's funny how that works. You know, us like-minded guys can just, you know, you got your mentality to go hunt the backcountry, and that's like, yeah, once you have that in common, it seems like everything else just flows.
Oh, yeah, it just falls in place, man. Like, you're crazy enough to, you know, sleep in a tent on the side of a mountain chasing animals that you might not ever see. I guess we're good people. We can hang out together.
Yeah. You know, that's actually pretty awesome, because when you came off of that hunt, you know, I was coming off of my buddy Derek's sheep hunt, you know, and then we all met up for that photo that's been on Instagram and whatnot a few times. But so here we had a, you know, bighorn sheep and a big bull in the back of the pickup. That was an epic photo. I mean,
oh, you gotta put that in here for the viewers. They yeah, gotta link to it or something.
Yeah, for sure. I will definitely have
that,
a link in
that
the show
was
notes.
An epic picture for sure.
Yeah. And just all the, you know, we did it in front of this pizza joint, and all the people's looks and faces that were walking by. I mean, everything from, oh, man, can I get a picture with that, to, like, the most disgusting look on their faces you've ever seen.
For sure. It was pretty funny.
But, yeah, you know, and then, you know, kind of a, it's just amazing at how small of a world this is, because, you know, I've been following along on the YouTube video that you guys have been posting on that story. And how crazy was that when I sent you a message, like, saying how I recognized that big bull that you guys posted?
But, yeah.
You know, I was watching the video, and when that clip came up of that giant bull, I was like, oh, man, that thing's huge. And so, well, the story is that my dad actually had that tag this year as well. And I wasn't in there hunting with him, but he was in there with another guy that he knows. And I swear, dude, they were hunting that bull almost every day. And so
that's just insane.
Well, and I didn't know that. But so, like, I saw the video, I took a screenshot, and I sent it to my dad. And I was like, so evidently this was in your unit that you guys were hunting. And he and he sends me back, that's my water hole. Like, that's the bull I was chasing. And story has it that they had him, you know, at 30 yards at full draw and just couldn't make it happen because he couldn't get a clear shot in the trees.
Yeah, you know? I don't doubt it. That country up there, other than those openings in between the timber, it's super thick timber, and it that's crazy. I'm jealous he got to put eyes on him on the hoof. That's pretty dang cool.
He said his bugle was like prehistoric. It was so just rough and raw.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and like that's how they were tracking him, is because his bugle was so distinct.
Wow.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's just crazy. It's crazy how small a world that is. You know, I mean,
no
so
kidding,
like,
man.
Like you know, you post up a little clip that's quite a ways in the middle of nowhere. And
oh yeah,
it's like, and we, sure. You know, it's funny because he recognized. I mean, just the general look of it, but there's that one tree to the right of the bull in the video. And that kind of bends up, and he's like, that's my tree. like he recognized it right
yeah.
off of that.
Oh, dude, for sure. I'm sure there's some footage in there that some folks will recognize, but we have, you know, cameras in five or six different locations. You never know which location that was taken at. But that was, yeah, when you said that he recognized it and you were right on where that thing was, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah. But so what do you guys got planned for this season? You I know you guys, so from what following you, I've seen the most that you guys post is Washington based stuff.
Yeah, we've 100% of our content so far has been Washington state exclusively. We've never left the state or done any projects outside of the state. So I think this year what's in the cards, pending the draw results and something crazy happens and one of us draws, you know, another Washington tag, I think this year might be the year that we leave Washington and hit something over the counter, or other like Idaho elk or something like that, or maybe Montana muleys or Colorado elk. I think we're still hemming and hawing on which state to head to and hitting the books and stuff like that and cruising country. But I think it's in the cards this year to finally break out of the old Washington shell.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely nothing like hunting those mountains in your backyard, but I'm the kind of guy that's like, now I feel like Idaho or Wyoming is my backyard. You know?
It's and that's the intimidating part. Fortunately, us guys that are on social media, we have connections all over the place, but still, it's nothing like, you know, leaving the comfort, like you said, of your backyard and in the hills that you've hunted for 10 plus years, and then to go to a brand new piece of land that you've never even, you know, seen, let alone, you know, walked on.
Yeah.
You know, so it's intimidating, but sometimes you just got to make the leap and you know, be confident that you can get it done in unfamiliar territory.
You know, one thing that it definitely happened in my last or the first time we went to Arizona, you know, I talk about this trip a lot, but it was really kind of a milestone trip for me because, like, when me and Derek took off to Arizona, the only thing we had in mind for that hunt was to have a good time and learn the new country and, like, how to hunt the coos deer. You know, like,
yeah,
just we if we killed the deer, great. If not, we were going to be happy anyway because we were just going to go experience it. And I feel like that's the look that you kind of have to go into it as, you know, when you're going into these new areas.
Oh, totally. That's definitely the mindset. You can't be bummed when you're unsuccessful. You know, you're always going to be learning and adding to that knowledge base for the next season or something of that sort.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, for example, if, you know, you go to Idaho elk hunting, you know, you get in there and just trying to find where the elk are is, you know, might take a few days in itself, you know, out of your, you know, 10-day trip or whatever. You know, half of it's going to be learning the area and, you know, all of a sudden, oh, I found this water hole, you know, and it's a wallow and it's tore up bulls everywhere. But you found that on day 5 or day 6. And it's like, so then the next year you can come back and hit that on day 1.
Yeah.
And not necessarily they're going to be there, but, you know, you find a good wallow. A lot of times it's, you know, they're going to, if not the same bull, there'll be elk in the area, you know.
So definitely. Yep.
You know, that's just one way to look at it. You know, I try to tell guys, there's another handful of guys that I know in Central Washington there that they're younger, I guess, than me. You know, I mean, just kind of getting out of college now and they've never wanted to leave their backyard there in Central Washington. I'm like, you guys need to, like, just branch out. You know, if you really want to chase, you know, a lot more mule deer than are here, you know, like, go to Idaho or go to Wyoming, you know, and start building points.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
It's not as difficult as people think. And I just try to, you know, I always try to encourage to not be intimidated.
Yeah, I'm definitely there with you. And we're, I think the last couple of years we've just been so stuck in Washington due to, you know, quality draws and stuff like that. And this year we're probably not going to get anything like that. So I think this year is the year that we're going to branch out and try to get something out of state going.
Well, cool. I'm excited. Excited to see the video. Excited to hear the story, see the photos.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm nervous, but I'm excited too.
Yeah. Oh, there's just, it's not that hard. I mean, I know you guys will be fine. Well,
we have so many resources nowadays to, you know, give you, if you want to put in the homework, you can go in, you know, with a pretty solid knowledge base of the area, other than, you know, the what really matters is the boots on the ground. But you can go in and really scout it and drop pins on Onyx maps and stuff like that to really give yourself, you know, the best chance you can. And I think we're pretty good at that. So I'm not scared, but I'm just, you know, nervous. It's always intimidating.
Well, you know, another thing you can do, if you guys don't end up drawing your spring bear this year in Washington, you could head over, and, like, if you decide you want to hunt Idaho for elk, where you're already going to have a hunting license. In fact, you can tag a black bear with an elk tag if you wanted to. I wouldn't recommend it, but, like, if, you know, if you just bought an elk tag, you know you're going to buy an elk tag and a hunting license. Okay. Well, so now you can still go in for spring bear, you know, if the units open, but a lot of them are, and go check out the area and hunt for spring bear and kind of learn it to go back in September and hunt those elk.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
You know,
actually, yeah, absolutely. No, and that's a solid piece of advice.
I mean, the bear tags, I don't remember exactly how much they are for a non-resident.
I think they're like 150 or something.
That sounds about right. I was gonna say in that range, somewhere around $100.
Yeah.
But like I've killed one bear in Idaho, and I put my deer tag on it because I didn't have a bear tag in my pocket. But
oh man,
it doesn't matter. I mean, it was totally worth it. It was a giant bear. You know, I didn't. It was the only. It's really the only bear I've ever killed. I just never.
Oh, really?
I've gone spring bear hunting a couple times. Went with Derek once. Or no, that was August. I went with Derek again to one time North Idaho. We got on a pretty good bear, but just couldn't get close enough. But the few times I've been bear hunting, I just haven't pulled the trigger. I just like, here, you can shoot it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's just, it's not, I don't know. I've got a giant already, so I just got extremely lucky. Was deer hunting in Idaho September and stumbled into this, you know, six, eight.
Holy smokes.
He's a huge black bear. I
mean, wow.
Big boar. And he didn't quite make Booner. His skull was just under 20. But
dang.
I mean, he's huge. Like, I'm just so fortunate. And, but yeah, so like I said, put my deer tag on it. And like, it was a good trade.
Yeah, no kidding. Sounds like it.
But no, I mean, but anyways.
And I love bear, man. It's some really underrated meat. It scares a lot of people because the trichinosis and stuff, but yeah. I really, really, really enjoy bear meat.
Well, yeah, and I've heard, you know, especially old Ryan Lampers, he loves those fall bears up there, you know, in Washington, just because of all the berries that they're eating.
Oh, yeah. We took a bear September 2nd, I think it was, and he was just on blueberries up in the Alpine, cruising berries, and you know, we're taking care of him up field dressing him, and we wanted to see what he's been eating, and I swear to God, you could fill up a Safeway bag of blueberries.
isn't it crazy how their like whole mouth is purple?
Oh yeah, it's, you know, ridiculous.
Like, it's stained purple.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, because Derek shot one. It was an August bear. Oh shoot, I don't know, 3-4 years ago now. There's a film of it on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
But yeah, same thing. I, in fact, the funny part of that video to me is I was doing like a little selfie interview thing, talking about how the bear got away or whatever, and I didn't know it at the time, but my teeth were solid purple, just like those tank bears. So I get back and I'm like, you know, trying to edit the video, and I'm just laughing at myself because my teeth are just purple from all those berries that I was eating.
Oh, but man,
that was pretty funny.
And it's that,
like,
is funny.
And then at that point, I kind of like, I didn't want to put that on there, but I kind of had to. And it's like, ah, what the heck? I don't care what they think. If anyone laughs at my purple teeth.
Yeah.
But I mean, shoot, like, I was, even when I was sitting down in them, I was getting just berry juice all over me. They were just, it was everywhere. It was a good year. They were thick.
Oh yeah, man, definitely.
But so what else is there? What else are we gonna talk about that we already talked about once?
Yeah, I don't know. We got I kind of didn't elaborate on the elk hunt much, or the series. I think we got sidetracked, went down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, so
I could retouch on the elk.
To make sense to people here, this is the second time we recorded the second half of this podcast because we'll just call it a technical difficulty.
He didn't hit record, let's just be honest.
Yeah. Podcast newbie right here.
Working out the kinks, man.
Yeah. But no, that is true. So the final one comes out tomorrow, which I guess this will air next week, but
No, yeah, it'll air right before there's actually four parts to this one.
Oh, there's four
parts.
Okay.
Yeah, it's four parts. So tomorrow is episode 3, the 15th of March is episode 3. And then the final episode, the final installment of this series is going to be March 22nd.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that'll be, yep. So it'll be tomorrow at, you know, this will air next Wednesday. So it'll be the next day.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It'll be right before the final episode. And then for the next couple weeks after that, we'll have some exciting stuff as well. There's going to be all through the rest of March and all through April, there's going to be new films coming out every week, every Thursday. So make sure you check it out. Subscribe to the channel. Check out the Instagram. See what we got cooking and follow along. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know. It definitely seems like the YouTube world is kind of going to this series approach, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. I
think you can – the only thing that I really see the benefit with is showing more. You know, like you have say you want to make a film, or you could do a documentary-style film or something like that. But if you do a film, typically it's, you know, let's just say Full Drop Film Tour. You and I both have entered for it. You've been in it. It's typically shorter than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And some guys really excel at putting a story together that's 15 minutes long or however you fit in that time frame. And then some guys are like, man, like me, I struggle with trying to tell the story efficiently and staying within that 15-minute time frame. And I get it, you know, some you don't want a drawn out film or something, but I think episode 1 was 22 minutes and episode 2 it was 33, so I'm almost at an hour now. You know. And I enjoy telling, you know, showing more stuff and showing, you know, the characters behind the films a little bit more. People get to know you more. And some of our viewers have said, you know, I really enjoy you know, the backside of the story, like you said, even that you enjoyed the scouting and seeing what we did, you know, the effort put in preseason, you know, like just, you know, we're not just two guys, you know, stumbling out into the woods on opening, you know, opening morning or something. It's like we're dedicated to what we do. So we want to showcase, you know, the effort that guys like us put into a hunt like this. You know, it's not just it's tomorrow, September, we better grab our bows and get out there. You know, no, we've been waiting for this since June. We've been working towards it since June. You know, we've been out hanging cameras since June 15th and shed hunting the areas and scouting the areas and checking out trailheads and watching fires, and you know, so there's tons of effort and stuff that several folks put into it, and we're just happy to showcase it.
Yeah, so I totally agree with the getting to know the personalities of the guys. That's one thing that, like, you know, my short films really don't have any of that. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like, it's serious. You know, it's like,
yeah, no, totally.
And whereas I'm not like that throughout the whole hunt. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. I don't think any of us are. Yeah. You have to be a little bit of a jokester to be up there for 13 days.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't be – I mean, hats off to the guys that are, you know, nothing but serious, you know, for the entire time. But that's just not how I do things. You got to have fun while you're doing it, right, man, and enjoy the company that you're in. And I think that's why the Pea and Wild Boys and I get along so well, is that we, you know, we blend well together. And you know, Zach's a little bit more serious than I am, but I think that's needed. You know, you gotta have parts to make a machine.
Yeah, and that's, so I don't know, I'm still on the fence of like if I want to do that or attempt to do that, you know, this upcoming season.
I think some of your followers would really enjoy that. You know, like you said, a lot of your guys see you just 100% serious 100% of the time, and maybe a little bit of backstory on yourself, maybe a little deeper dive would, you know, people might want like to see that.
You know, one angle I've been thinking about doing is maybe doing both.
Absolutely.
Doing the series style, and then at the end doing like a recap with, you know, a 15-minute film of everything.
That would be a good idea.
Showing do the like best of the best.
Yeah, do like a feature film and then kind of like a behind the scenes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's people definitely seem to like it better, and I think it's because you do get to know the guys a lot more. I don't know. I
that's the beauty with, you know, YouTube and your channel. You are the total content creator, and it's totally up to you what you want to do.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for making my decision so much easier.
Hey, I'll put in a little request. I want to see some behind the scenes of Zach Kenner. I want to see some goofy stuff.
Well, that's, yeah, goofy.
What we were talking about, the boys and I, was how bad we wished we recorded our pizza brewery night after our success. How funny that would have been to have cameras rolling and we just woofed down four pizzas and talked in the parking lot for, it looks like an hour and a half.
When I was watching that, I thought the same thing. I was like, man, this would have been like a great top off to have, the camaraderie there at the end.
Oh, but, definitely.
That's what we get.
Exactly.
You live and learn, I guess.
Yep. You got to have that guy that's always running the camera.
Yeah. And we were just all talking nonstop.
Oh, yeah. We were just got done of running cameras for 10 days. So we were just like, let's get pizza and beer now.
Speaking of that, though, I still have that sheep film that I haven't released yet.
Yes, please release that.
I've been sitting on it for a while, just kind of doing some tweaking, and it's soon. In fact, when is this will release next week? It's on the docket to be released within the next 2 weeks.
Nice, man. I'm pumped for that.
I haven't released it yet, but and I've got a pretty big giveaway I've been working on.
Oh, boy.
To try and help kind of promote it and, to give back to some viewers. So, yeah, there's some irons in the fire there that I've been working on for quite a while. So I'm excited.
Heck yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Excited to finally get that out.
Yeah, you got some cool stuff in the works right now, too. You just released I don't know if you released it, but maybe I caught a glimpse of a trailer of what's to come this year from you, right?
Yeah, no, the trailer's released.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I've got the sheep film. I've got a goat film that buddy of mine shot a goat up here in Alaska. And still working on that quite a bit. And then I've got kind of a something I've never really told anybody about yet is, I guess we'll call it like a movie more than a short film.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot longer than 15 minutes.
Oh, but, heck yeah. On what adventure was this?
Well, it's kind of more of a documentary of like who is Hardworking Hunter.
Oh, I like it.
And it's going to include my bull elk video from, I shoot now, it's been a year and a half. I shot him in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Great big. I finally drew my big bull tag in Washington after 19 years.
Oh, yeah.
And, shot me a pretty good bull. And so it's going to have, and I didn't have a lot of video for a film for that. So I'm kind of throwing a bunch of stuff together and making this kind of documentary. And
nice.
And there's some very personal, meaningful, I guess, things to me in this video. I actually did an interview with my grandma and kind of like talked about, my history as Zach Kenner and then my history as a family.
Oh, wow.
But what's crazy about it is 2 weeks after I took that video, she passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she had a stroke and passed away. It's completely unexpected. One of the healthiest old ladies we knew, And so it's very meaningful to me.
Absolutely.
Putting this
all
together.
That's pretty cool. You got to do that.
Yeah. I kind of was toying with it for quite a while on doing something similar about the history, and then I don't know what it was, man, but I had a couple days after that sheep hunt whether I could go hunt myself or whatever, but like something told me that I needed to go see her, and so I went down and I did that, and then it's kind of shocking, really, that it all came together like that.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy, man.
It's going to be, I don't know when that will be ready. That's kind of going to be a big project for me, but definitely something to look forward to. I'm hoping to have it done this summer. I just don't know when.
Yeah.
It's because I want it to be perfect. And it's going to be, you see the, you mentioned Hushin earlier. They kind of do like movie premieres or whatever, but it's still for the most part one hunt. It's just like strung together in like a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas this is more of a documentary.
That's cool, man.
And so it's kind of weird doing a documentary on yourself.
No, that's kind of what I was just saying. Like, people wanted to see more of, you know, who you are, you know, behind the scenes type thing. So I think that's pretty cool. I think that'll be really successful. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I got in the works. Well, at least for current. And then, you know, this season it'll be all pretty much Alaska for me, so.
Yeah, that's badass.
Which I try not to talk about Alaska in every episode, but when I live here, it's hard not to.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to, yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited. It's I've been working my tail off on the computer editing, you know.
Yep, I know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, what else? What else you got going on?
You know?
Tell me something I don't know.
Tell you something you don't know. Yeah, well, I don't know if we've covered it in this one or not, but have we covered over the Mule Deer project coming up? I don't know if we had or not.
You said you had stuff coming up, but you wouldn't be very specific.
Yeah, anyways, coming up here in over the next couple months, we're going to have another series after the elk series ends. There's going to be a little bit of a break, and in between there'll be some films, but no series. And then so this first part of April, we'll be kicking off another series of films, and it's going to be dedicated to Zach's quality mule deer tag here in Washington State. We captured that all on film, and over the course of 10 days and him passing on his first, what would be his first branched mule deer. And so it was hard in some points of the film to get him not to shoot an animal. And in one of the scenes on opening morning, actually, we came across a very, very nice 4x4 with eye guards, and it was hard. I mean, I could just see it in his eye that he wanted that thing real bad. And at this time, Zach has never shot a mule deer buck, and it was a very hard thing to tell him not to do as well, because that was one of the bigger bucks I've ever seen.
So
and we got tons of phone scope footage of him and his buddies, and it was pretty cool to watch that go down.
So did Zach, you know, you guys being on the west side of Washington, did he hunt blacktails a lot?
Oh yeah, he's grown up hunting blacktails, and then his family every modern season actually hunts east side for whitetails.
Oh, gotcha.
So he's taken several whiteys and several blacktails, but he's never harvested a mule deer buck. So this was a pretty special hunt for him, and it was actually in a unit that I was super familiar with and that I've hunted several times in the past. And I actually told him to apply for quality deer this year, and I was like, man, just wing it, you know, if you draw, I'll help you out, not thinking anything of it, because he shouldn't have drawn it, let's just say that, with the points he had.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
And, yeah, exactly. And he ended up drawing it, and I was like, well, I'll stick to my word and I'll go with you, and we'll give her hell. And that's what we did, and it was a crazy hunt, and it was all captured on film, and we're excited to release that here soon too.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool that was his first mule deer. I mean, I didn't realize that as kind of the backstory, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we got some of that camp talk, you know, Zach kind of doing behind, you know, the scenes of this tag and what it means to him, like kind of what you were saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat to be able to tell stuff like this with film, and you know, getting into it, you kind of just want to film things just to film things. And then you realize the power of film, and you want to always, you know, tell cooler stories or tell more meaningful stories. And I think that's kind of what we're getting into as Peeing Wild is telling, you know, some serious, cool, you know, meaningful, powerful stories and along as some just kick-ass hunts and kick-ass footage, you know, but there's, you know, in between, you know, we got some serious some serious stories, and that this is going to be one of them. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, sounds that way. I'm jealous. I wish I had. I wish I had a bunch of new stuff coming out, but
yeah, we're sitting on a pretty big backlog here. We got over the next 5-6 weeks, we got 5 or 6 new films coming out. And that should bring us into spring bear time, and hopefully one of us guys draws spring bear. And I have some big plans as one of those meaningful stories. If I draw, I want to put together something pretty special as well.
No, and you definitely have a good point there, where it's all about the story. You know, it's not like it's totally different than when we were growing up. You know, watching outdoor TV. And it went from, like, oh, I don't even know how, you know, like, you totally refaked that to, oh, like, and then it showed another, all of a sudden people started adding another camera to, show them videoing them, like, oh, it was shot real time, you know, like, all the,
yeah,
the hunt was shot live. And then it kind of, like, transitioned back to this, like, cinematography style, like, films. And then now it's kind of traversing back to, oh, look, this is live. Like,
yeah,
I swear it's been a yo-yo for, you know, the last 20 years. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's interesting to kind of watch it all traverse, you know, growing up watching, you know, like real tree TV and whatnot.
Oh, so, yeah.
But
yeah, I think it's cool. Several people do it, and I think it's awesome that every single group does it differently and tells a different story. And I think that's what's so cool, is you can bounce back and forth on YouTube channels or whatever you want to do, and find a new group and tell a different story that's meaningful and powerful to them, and it grasps the viewer. And I think that's so cool. You can do that with film and still have some kick-ass footage and have a lot of fun with it, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So we've grown to really enjoy it, and all three of us have DSLRs now, and it's going to be one hell of a year, I hope.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm excited for you guys. You guys have taken off cool. I mean, for the short amount that you've, you know, been doing it, you know, you've definitely come a long way, so it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think our YouTube channel is just over a year old now. Our Instagram's pushing a year and a half. And, so Zach and I have only hunted together 2 seasons. And like I stated in the opener of the podcast, that, you know, we met on Instagram on the internet, you know, because of hunting.
Yeah.
And because of an elk tag, we met. And we ended up hunting. And he was with me when I took my very first bull elk. And he called it in for me. And then likewise, a year later, in the exact same turf and the exact same drainage, he took his very first branch bull, and I called it in for him. So it was,
that's crazy. It's
pretty cool, man. You know, hunting is, you know, it's a special thing to a lot of us, and it's cool to share it with, you know, like-minded folks like you and I.
Dude, I mean, I have almost the exact same story with my good buddy Brian Reed. I met him online. He was like, hey, I drew this tag, like, anybody want to come help me? And I'd kind of like followed him on Facebook or whatever, but I mean, I never talked to him, knew who he was, anything. And he's from North Idaho. And then he drew a Washington tag, elk tag. And I was like, hey, I just had that tag the year before, because it's just a general bull tag. And so sure, same story, dude. Like, I'd never met the guy until I drove into camp. And he had camp set up.
Wow.
And now we've hunted together in Idaho a couple times. Drove southern Idaho, central Idaho. Oh, and then Montana as well. Yeah, I did a Montana trip. So it's just, and now, yeah, now we're just like best buddies. Like,
oh, yeah, dude.
Like, now we just can't hunt together enough. our schedules are so different, so.
Yeah, but, definitely. Yeah, it's crazy, man. You find guys that you hunt well with, and it's like there's no one else that you can accomplish stuff like that with, and you just got to stick with them.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's switch gears a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
What would you consider your, like, give me a secret to your success?
Oh man, here we go. Got me off with the questions. secret to my success, man, it's just got to be the never say die attitude, and nothing can get you down. Like I don't even know. Like there's just nothing I won't do or won't try to do to be successful. There's nothing that, you know, physical abilities, mental abilities, you know, nothing like that. There's nothing that I would really say that would get me to say I can't do that. Yeah. You know,
so it's just, have you been like that, like through high school and everything, or is that kind of just more of a recent gotcha attitude, or you know, like this new attitude of, you know, like yeah, like the never say die, I can't, you know, like tell me, yeah, I can't, tell me I can't.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it really has been, at least, you know, the greater part of like the, you know, adulthood or whatever you call it. Like my late teens was just kind of the attitude. It's like I'm going to do something that I want to do. I'm going to, you know, do, yeah, it, you know, not half-assed or something.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something out there I want to do, I'm going to try my damnedest to do it.
You know, and I ask that because I know I was definitely, we'll call myself a lazy, I don't want to say road hunter, but a lazy hunter, like through high school, pretty much. Well, younger through high school, I did a lot of duck hunting from my pickup.
Okay.
And I say that because I would drive around and I would glass, and like I would hunt ducks with my binoculars, you know, and like, oh, you know, there's only like two greenheads in that group. I'm not going to go after them. Like that's too far of a walk. And then I'd get another group, and there'd be three, and I'd be like, oh, I can triple up on those green heads. I'll walk out there. You know, like, and
yeah.
And then even, I'm not even going to lie, some of like the first archery hunts that I did, oh, shoot, you know, back when I was 16. And it's like I really thought I could drive a lot closer, like let the deer see my pickup, but yet then like pull into this little outlet where they couldn't see me, and then expect them to not, like, be looking my way when I took off after him. And it's just, I don't know when the light switch went off, but it was kind of somewhere right there at the end of my college. And, you know, I went on an Idaho hunt, actually, with my dad, and got my butt kicked. I mean, just kicked. And realized that if I wanted to hunt these mountains, I was going to have to, you know, work out a
change
little bit,
up,
you know.
Yeah.
And since then, now it's so weird, that switch, because I can remember when I was back in high school and I had that mentality of, I mean, just pretty much laziness, like that's all I can say, it's just laziness. Whereas
yeah.
Now I look at a mountain, and whether it's down one drainage and up the other side, or you're just starting at the bottom looking up, and I look at it, and instead of thinking like, oh my gosh, that's a long ways up there, I'm like, oh, that'll take me about, you know, 3.5-4 hours.
Yep, exactly. You know, it's like, that's just the way you have to look at it.
Yeah, you just set your nose down and off you go.
Yep, 100%.
It's, I don't know how to explain it, and I don't know what flipped the switch, but it's just, it's really weird to look at it now at that light.
Absolutely, man. And I think that's a huge part of it, is you, there's a lot of things that can discourage you, and I think there's a lot of things, you know, instead of finding an excuse, you have to find an answer, and this, and hunting is a great I just lost the word for it. But yeah, it goes hand in hand. You see something, or like you said, you see a mountain, you see an obstacle, it's all, there's always, oh man,
it's,
I guess,
a,
we can come back
it's
next
a good
weekend
demonstration,
or, yeah, absolutely.
That's what,
absolutely,
that's the word you were looking for. It
yeah,
demonstrates that mentality,
absolutely. And like I said, you can always say like, oh, you know, let's head back to the truck, or oh, we can try it next weekend, or oh, maybe next season, or you know, it's just, you just never can, like, That's a thing that I've always attributed to my success, was that you just never give up. You go until the season's over, at least, and then at least you can look back and not be ashamed, or you know, oh, what if I, you know, will a little bit harder? What if I did, you know, go over that next ridge, or you know, So.
So now on the flip side, so if that was, you know, definitely one of the secrets to success, what's one of your weaknesses when you're out in the field? The most common is not patient enough. So that one doesn't count. You have to pick a new one.
Okay. And I think I'm fairly patient as well. I know there's a lot of things I'm bad at, but I just, can't think of.
Maybe the patience thing is me. Maybe I'm not patient enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think patience, everyone struggles with patience at a certain time. You know, there's a time to be patient and there's time, you know, people can be patient. And then there's times where it's just super hard to sit and maybe, you know, glass that extra hour. Or is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, whether glassing the same spot, you know, and I'm like, oh, I don't see anything. Let's move on. When, yeah. Like, realistically, if I sat there for another 2 hours, another deer might get up that I didn't see. You know,
oh,
I
mean, absolutely.
I don't know. It's one of those deals where, you know, looking into the past, you know, it's the vision's always 20/20 type thing, you know, so it's like,
yeah,
it's hard to say whether you're doing it right or doing it wrong.
Oh yeah, you never know. And that's the thing. You'll never know in hunting. You know, you could get up and, like you said, from your glassing spot and walk away, and lo and behold, you know, as you're walking away, a deer gets out of his bed, and you'll never know that, though. You'll never learn that lesson unless you stay and then you pick them up.
Yeah. So as kind of wrapping up, going back to this fall, so you're thinking only elk in Idaho, or are you going to maybe jump into pick up some mule deer tags too?
Yeah, that's kind of as the group, you know, as it gets more closer to June and draw results here in Washington start filtering out, I think we'll get more serious about planning. But there has been in the group text, there has been some mentions of elk, of mule deer, of antelope. There's been all sorts of stuff that has been, you know, thrown out there, and even lately a Sitka blacktail trip came up in the talks.
Oh yeah, huh? Wonder how that happened.
That has been one of them. Yeah, so
well, I'll throw you out another one. How about a coos deer hunt?
Yeah, that'd be 2019 though, right? Technically.
Well, yeah, I would recommend it. You can hunt them in December, but I would recommend going in January because the rut's at more of a peak. So the downfall to hunting coos deer with your bow over the counter in January is you are hunting with that season's tag. So, like, for example, this is 2018. If I went down there and I shot a coos deer in January of 2018, I then cannot put in for a special permit for Arizona that year.
Oh, you know, gotcha.
That's kind of where guys will go in December because it's kind of like the end of the year. They didn't get their deer. They didn't draw their tag, but they still have this deer tag. And so they can go and bow hunt, you know, coos deer in December. But they're not as much in the rut, and so kind of buck numbers are hard to come by.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Another.
And is January archery only? Can you not hunt coos with that? Can you hunt coos over the counter with a rifle?
I don't think so. I think all the rifles draw.
Is all draw. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that it'd be, at least as far as I know, for a non-resident, I'd have to double check on that.
But, okay.
But I know they don't offer that late for sure. If they have a general season, it's going to be in October, and it's hot as heck down there.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense, though.
Yeah, they have some later October, November hunts, early November hunts that are really good draw hunts with the rifle. But even then, it's still not even close to the rut. So it's, I don't know. I think it must just be too easy to pick off in the rut with the rifle. Well, I would say they would, because when we're down there glassing them, we see, you know, quite a few of them up running around, but that's because they're chasing does.
Yeah, I'm definitely for it. I'd like to maybe pick your brain and just go down there with you in 2019. That'd be a blast.
Yeah, we'll see if I can make that all happen. I definitely, I want to go back down there. I just, I wanted to go down. I didn't make it down this year because I'll just.
Yeah, I saw Derek went. You didn't go with him.
Yeah, just making the move up here and whatnot. The funds are kind of low for me, so.
Oh, yeah, true.
It just didn't happen, but maybe this next year we'll see. But I don't know. Another option, throwing it out there for you guys, if you want to do another out-of-state over-the-counter, is blacktail in California.
Okay.
There's an early August archery tag. And what's awesome about it is it's August, so it's not going to affect your elk hunting.
Gotcha.
So, just something to think about.
that would be cool. Yeah.
And from what I'm told, it's like hunting those mountains out of your back door. You're hunting blacktail in the high country like that.
Oh, wow. That would be epic.
Yeah. So, they're... From what I've kind of been told, like, I've never done it. It's on my to-do list. But what I've been told is it's sometimes hard to find. The deer numbers aren't quite as high, I would say. Well, maybe for the Cascades, they might be close to the same. Because there's not exactly a lot of deer roaming around there, but they're there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably very similar. So, and I think you might be able to buy a bear tag, too. So that's all over the counter, California.
Yeah, that's neat. Speaking of bear tags, Fish and Wildlife's got to get their stuff together, man. I'm sitting here just checking it, hitting refresh this whole podcast. Hopefully by the time this podcast airs next week, I know the results. If not, I'm going to come unglued.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things I never got too jacked up about because I just always tell myself, oh, I'm not going to draw anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's
like,
man. Totally.
It's like the expectation's low, then I won't be disappointed.
You might just be caught off guard and excited.
Yes, exactly. Draw. Yeah, it can only be positive things when draws come out. Because I already knew I wasn't going to draw, so...
Yeah, exactly. But. Yeah, I think I'm just so stoked for it and so stoked for the season, and I got some big plans for it. If I do draw, I'm super excited for it. And I got a decent amount of points going in. I think I'm going in with 5, so there's a good chance.
Yeah.
I'm just excited. I'm ready for the season to start and get outside and start looking for some sheds and looking for some bears and just getting out and enjoying that country again. Can't wait for it.
I hear of a few elk sheds picked up last weekend down there, so
really
they're getting there,
so. Yeah, it's getting close.
Yeah,
I think last year at this exact time I was out there, and I would say probably 7 out of the 10 bulls we saw were still packing, but yeah. You know, different year, I guess. It could be, well, it's been a pretty super light winter.
Yeah, no, that'll be good for the herds there. They've had a couple bad run-ins with fire and last year's winter. I guess it'd be...
Yeah. Did you hear that the Yakima herd, they took cow out of archery tags?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, it's going to be... well, that was, you know, the rumors, but... And it was in the regulation for this year, is they're taking out of the 300... The Yakima herd, the 300 units, that they were taking the cow out of it. So it was going to be spike only for archery as well.
Hmm. To feed the wolves, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Or just sell more cow tags to the rifle guys so they make more money on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, bud, it was great catching up.
Absolutely. We're going to have to do it again, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, and definitely look forward to more of the videos for sure.
Heck yeah, man. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to yours now. You got me all pumped up.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, the documentary is going to be a while out, but the sheep film is going to be released here very soon, here in the next couple weeks. So
that's awesome. Heck yeah.
We'll be looking for that post.
That's going to be a good one. I'm excited for it.
Well, all right, man. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
All righty.